Man, Luke chapter 17 this morning. Luke chapter 17. It's again good to have everyone here this morning. And I pray God would bless us. I want to speak this morning or preach this morning on a subject which is very near and dear to the heart of God. It's one which this new generation of superficial Christianity is very ignorant of, and one which the world today seems to misunderstand greatly. And yet it's one which God holds in high esteem. We sang most of the subject this morning in our hymns. The subject I'm talking about is giving thanks and praise to God. And it's one which is very, very important in the sight of God, as we'll find out hopefully this morning in our text. And yet it's one which we often neglect, ignore, or just simply don't do. You know, the Word of God is that which reveals unto us, not perfectly, because who can find out God to the end, but it reveals unto us the heart and mind of God as much as we can take as finite individuals. You want to learn about God, you want to know about God. The creation shows the glory of God, and the firmament manifests His works. But if you really want to get to personally know God, you need to get in Scripture and read the Bible, because the Bible reveals to us the very heart and mind of God. But not only that, and I need you to listen to me this morning, because we all need this, nothing in this world reveals the true condition and state of man's sinful heart more than God's Word. That's why God's Word is hated by the world. It reveals the true condition of the human heart more than anything else in this world. And it reveals it as such. Now listen to me, because I need you to understand this to understand the text. The human heart, and we as Christians need to understand that more than anybody else because we've experienced it. But you know the human heart is the greatest enmity against God in this world. It's not Satan. It's the sinful, unconverted, defiled heart of man. Man don't like to hear that. But that's how the Scripture defies or describes the human heart. And our text this morning allows us a brief yet troubling glimpse into its horrific and terrible condition, but also shows us the infinite mercy and grace of our God. And I really want you to see that this morning. I pray that it would enhance and encourage us to worship and praise God as we ought, as His children. The Bible says here on His last journey to Jerusalem, it says in verse 11, "And it came to pass that He went to Jerusalem." On His last journey to Jerusalem, where He would be betrayed into the hands of sinners and eventually crucified, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ travels through a small, unknown village which lay between Samaria and Galilee. In other words, our Lord is in Samaria, which is a hated place of the Jews. They're Gentiles. It was a hated place, and I think I've said this before, and I don't want to get bogged down in details, but Jerusalem was here, and our Lord south of Samaria, and normally the Jews would travel all the way around Samaria just so they wouldn't have to walk through Gentile country. That's how much the Jews hated the Gentiles. But Jesus would oftentimes go straight through Samaria. The woman at the well was found in Samaria. "I must needs go through Samaria," He said. So our Lord finds Himself in the midst of the Gentiles, the people the Jews hated, in an unknown village. And as He gets there, He meets 10 leprous men, 10 of them, who stood afar off, the Bible says, because leprosy was a very terrible and very contagious disease. Now we need to understand that. Something about being a leper in those days. Today's leprosy is, you can heal it. back in them days you couldn't. It was very contagious and it was a very terrible disease. I don't have time to describe it, but it was one of the most awfulest diseases human could ever experience. You would have boils on your skin. They'd break out in pusses and you'd be scratching on it. It would itch so bad. You'd have them all over your skin. And what leprosy does is it's not painful. You need to understand that as believers. It wasn't painful. Leprosy is not painful. Leprosy attacks the nervous system so that you don't sense or feel nothing. So when you're scratching your sores, you don't realize you're scratching down to your very bone. That's how terrible leprosy was. It was a terrible, contagious disease. A leper, according to Scripture, must remove himself from society. He could not intermingle with society. He had to be isolated from society. He could never even approach a healthy human. Because even his breath, his very breath, was contaminated and very contagious. Banished from society, denied any fellowship with healthy humans, the leper led a very isolated and a very lonesome life. He was left alone by himself unless there were, like in our case, other lepers. The Bible says in Leviticus, and I'll read, listen to this. The leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, "Unclean! Unclean! All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone without the camp, shall his habitation be." End of Leviticus 13, 45 and 46. That was what a leper experienced. They were condemned to a life of open shame and contempt. The repulsiveness of the disease, and it was repulsive, together with the isolation and loneliness, was often unbearable. Many lepers committed suicide. You know what the Bible compares leprosy to? Sin. That's what God compares the sinner to. That is your condition before God without Christ. You have a deplorable disease. You're separated from the society or fellowship of God. You're not even worthy to enter His presence. You have to cover your upper lip to keep your breath from coming out and contaminating people and cry unclean. The Bible compares the sinner to the leper. Why does mankind think he's generally good? Where do they get that nonsense? Mankind is not good. Romans chapter 3. A hated passage of Scripture. There's none that seeketh God. There's none that doeth good. They've all gone out of the way. They're like an asper, which is a poisonous snake. They have asper under their lips. There's none righteous. No, not one. But mankind continues to think that he has some good quality to him. Read the Scriptures and you'll find out we have no good quality. We're as defiled and we're as contagious. And we're as condemned as the leper was. Until Christ came. These 10 men stood afar off, lifted up their voices, made hoarse by the disease. And that's what it would do too. You could hardly talk because of the disease. So when you were speaking, they say, you had to really exert yourself to say anything. Plus you had your hand over your mouth. They couldn't approach Christ. But they knew who He was. It's amazing that they knew their condition. They were traveling together. They're aware of their condition, but it's amazing that when they see Christ, their condition is made even more unbearable. Because they cry with that hoarse voice, "Lord, Lord, have mercy! All 10 of them. And I'll bet with all my heart that they all encouraged one another to don't stop, keep yelling, make it louder. He has to hear us. That's our only hope. That's the one we need. He's the only one that can clear us and heal us of this dreadful disease. Only He can do it. Don't stop crying out. He's got to hear my cry. Beloved, that's exactly the condition of a sinner who's come to know his condition before God. I'm tired of the superficial, non-repentant salvation which man passes by today. That's not salvation! When we become as sinners to recognize our condition before God, how deplorable we are. Beloved, it works in us, maybe not the same measure as these men here, but it will work a measure of repentance and sorrow and humbleness. And despising ourselves, we'll cry out for mercy to God. This is what salvation is. This is why our Lord said, heaven's taken by violence, and the violent taketh by force. What are they doing? They're crying out. This is how grace is received, beloved. This is how grace is received and given to the sinner. Is your life bad? Is it miserable? Are you having a bad time in life? Is it not what you expected? Well, you just come right on up here to this altar and you let a young man quote to you a prayer and you say that prayer and you'll be saved so that your life can get better. Easy believism is an erroneous doctrine. This is why churches are turning away from the gospel. Trying to make it pleasurable in the eyes of the world. Trying to make it look appeasing to them. Instead of preaching the gospel. And the gospel is that you're a sinner condemned before God and you deserve an eternal punishment in hell forever. That's what you deserve as a sinner. But Christ has taken your place as your Redeemer. Beloved, this is the true cry of repentance. Now listen to me. I'm not saying everybody has to experience repentance in such a high degree, but I'm telling you something. If you've ever truly been saved, I'm telling you, you're going to remember that moment when you was before God and you felt as though God would be right and just in throwing you into hell for eternity because of your sins. It wasn't just some simple prayer to change your life. You felt condemned and just for being the way that you are, like these lepers. Have mercy on us. Mercy, like the brother said last week, who can define mercy? Have mercy on us. Mercy is favor given that wasn't deserved. True grace, beloved, true grace is granted to the violent who take it by force. You know why? On that day when I was on my knees in that kitchen floor in Schäufelenstrasse in Germany, and I'd prayed many times before that, I did the sinner's prayer. Pray after me. And the guy says, okay, you're good, you're saved. Oh, I am? Yes, you are. Just because I said those, well, yeah, you're saved. And I got up, my life never changed. I went on with my life. I had the same problems with sin. Oh yeah, I could hide it. I could kind of put it in a place where nobody else could see it. But privately, man, I'm telling you, my sin and my heart ran rampant with sin. And I'm telling you, just like you, if you're truly saved, there was a time in your life on that floor on Schäufelenstrasse in Germany, on my knees before God, I never felt so wicked and condemned in my life, and I knew that God was just in calling me unworthy of His grace. But you know what was going on during that time? Do you know the rage and the warfare that was going around me at that time? Between my sins and Satan? Satan pulling on my heart to say, oh, don't believe that gospel. My own sin saying, you're good enough. I'm telling you, there was a violent warfare going on over my soul like there was over yours. And like you, I cried out to God and said, God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Please don't let me die and go to hell. I believe Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe that with all my heart. That morning, grace enabled me to take heaven by force because there was a lot of forces trying to condemn my soul. You think Satan is going to let somebody get that easy to Christ? Remember blind Bartimaeus? Remember about him? Master, have mercy on me. Who said that? Blind Bartimaeus shouted even louder. You remember the Canaanite woman who came because of her daughter? Lord, have mercy on my daughter's possessed of the devil. The Lord said, I've come not to feed dogs. She said, yes, you haven't, but I'll take the crumbs from the table. What'd she do? She took it by force. And Christ said, oh, great is thy faith. You remember that? Remember the woman with the issue of blood? Had it for 18 years, 16 years. And she's seen Christ in the multitude and they're all pressing on Him. And I'm sure they were. You know how they try to do the kings and the queens? The Bible said multitude was pressing on Christ. And disciples trying to find Him out. And this woman said, if I could just but touch His garment, if I could just but... And she forced her way through that crowd and reached up and touched His garment. And she was healed instantly. And the Lord said, who touched me? And the disciple says, Lord, everybody's touching you. He said, no, somebody touched me. But we all did. He said, no, somebody touched me. And she said, it was I. That's salvation. Because we come to a point of realizing just how depraved we are, that's the only time we can really see and receive the mercy of God. And these lepers knew that. The father whose son was ill said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. The Lord said, your son's healed. You can go home. All these instances, these 10 lepers, they all prove the violence needed to take heaven by force. And again, I'm not saying everyone has to go through that same measure of repentance and brokenheartedness. But beloved, there's got to be some there somewhere. If you really understood where you stood before Christ without salvation, there has to be some of that. Don't buy a cheap copycat. Christ heard their cry for grace. And He said this in verse 14. Listen to me. Go show yourselves unto the priest. Now why do you do that? Well, Christ had to keep the law. A leper would have to go prove himself to the priest that he was clean before the priest can declare him clean. So he was doing what the Jews... These were Samaritans. And He said, go to the priest and show yourselves. Go to him and show yourself, prove you're healed, so he can declare you clean. But something happened. As they went, something very strange and very wonderful happened. As they went, says in verse 14, as they went, they were cleansed. Now listen to me. Try to put yourself in their shoes. We've all had sickness to where it just made us feel terrible. Listen to me. Stomach ache. Flu. Oh, I hate the flu, don't you? Every bone in your body hurts. I hate it. Can't stand it. Nothing to compare to this. Don't forget, they've got sores all over their body. They can barely walk. Their limbs, they're just like this. A lot of times, the leprosy causes their joints to go out. And a lot of them was like this. And as they're going to the priest, suddenly they're healed. And in the Old Testament, if you look, when the prophet healed the man of leprosy, his skin was like a baby butt skin. I hate to use that example, but can't think of anything more smoother and softer than that. That's how smooth his skin was. Can you imagine being in this condition? And suddenly, you're made whole. I mean, I guarantee you, you're not going to stand there and go, wow, this is good. Man, let's go to the priest. You know what you're going to be doing? You're going to be jumping up and down. You're going to be shouting. You're going to be doing everything possible because that illness is gone and your skin is so fresh and new. And that's what they did. I'm sure they began shouting at each other and yelling at each other and they were just out of themselves for happiness. What an amazing relief that they should be fully freed and healed from this terrible and devastating disease. But then something else happened that was even more amazing than that. As these nine are heading towards the priest, like he told them, having a great time, one stopped. Watch this. One stopped and said, whoa. Turned around, looked at Christ, ran to Him, fell on his knees at His feet, and said, God, thank you. Thank you. One out of ten. You know how many people are praising, really praising God in the church this morning? Hit it, sister. There you go. Good hit. You know how many's praising, really, truly praising God in church? One out of ten. Why? Because we forget what God's done. Do you know that? I was headed to hell. Man, I'm telling you, I was on a fast road to hell. And God reached down and plucked me out of that. Imparted grace in my heart. Forgave me all my wicked, vile sins that I ever done. And I've done a lot. And I'm not proud of. They haunt me to this day in my mind. What relieves you? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. I like what an old preacher said one time. A believer should never leave the cross of Calvary. But we should always stand at the foot, never leaving its shadow, always being reminded of what He's done. When I survey the wondrous cross upon which the Prince of Glory died, the more we survey that cross, the more we're reminded of what Christ did for us, the more our praise is going to be exalted, the more we're going to worship and praise God as we ought. People today think praise is when you come into church, you've got a big, huge band, and everybody sings a song, and they're feeling happy and joyful, and they're like on a high. It's just like Jesus is some kind of drug. Get me high. That's not praise. You want to see praise? Look at this man. Fell on his knees. Why? He felt unworthy to be in His presence and glorify God and thank God. You know, the voice which once cried out mercy is now doing what? It's now praising God with a loud voice. The cry for help, beloved, was replaced, listen to me, was replaced with the cry of praise and thanksgiving. That ought to be us. You know, sometimes we come into church and our minds are so set on the world and what's going on and what we got to do tomorrow and my schedule and this and that and the dinner over there. And we come and we sit down and we haven't even taken a moment out to think about what we're doing. And then our mind has been everywhere except by God. And then we come in and bingo, bam. Oh, God, I just pray that You'll meet with us today. And it's almost as though God's going, why are You doing that? Why the hypocritical state? Why don't You set Your heart and mind? What did this leper do? He stopped, turned around, went to the feet of Christ, fell down, glorified the Father or God, and praised and thanked Jesus for what He did, while the other nine went marching off. You know what a multitude of people will do today after church? They'll go off like those nine. Thankful that they were healed, the nine. thankful for their Christianity, thankful for their church, or thankful for their pastor, or whatever, they're going to go off like those nine, and they haven't really, truly, honestly, really praised God with their whole heart. They haven't given Him the thanks and praise He deserves. You see, this is why in church we begin by singing praises. You know that? You know why we do? You know why we begin with praises and prayer? Why do we do that? We do that to glorify God, but we do that also to tune our hearts to sing His grace. You know how hard it is to get this heart tuned to sing God's grace? For years, and one of these days, Lord willing, before I die, before He takes me home, I've always wanted to preach on the old hymns. Use the old hymns and make sermons out of it. They've got powerful messages in them. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for Thy courts above. Why? Because it's prone to wander. You know how hard it is to get our hearts in tune to praise God as He ought? And yet we just come flippantly into church and sit down and talk about everything in the world. And then when the songs come, we sit up and we sing them, and we've known them so well, they're just words off our lips. And then we sit down and we dare the preacher to bless us. Instead of saying, praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King, and letting them words sink in, letting us meditate on them. Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins He suffered and bled and died. So that when the preaching of the Word comes, our hearts have been made mellow and soft and pliable and in tune to the Word of God. Why should God bless us if we come so superficially in His presence? Maybe this is why so often church services feel dead and not alive. 1 out of 10. Let me close with this. I want you to see how significant this is to Christ. Listen. Verse 16. He fell down on His face at His feet, giving Him thanks. And He was a Samaritan. He was a Gentile. He wasn't even a Jew. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save the stranger. You see how this upset the Lord? You see how much He took this to heart? Now good, there was one, and He rejoiced in that. You'll see that later on. He says, you're healed. In fact, that one was more healed than the other ones. You know why? They got physically healed. You know what He got? Spiritual healing. You know what most people want today? Physical healing. This one leper got better than the other 9. They got physically healed. This one got physically and spiritually. But the Lord said, where's the other 9? Does the Lord ask that on Sundays when we leave church? Where were you? Oh, you're physically here. You're mentally here, maybe. Weren't spiritually. I didn't hear no joy and no thankfulness, no gratitude in your heart, in your melody as you sang to me. I didn't hear you pray before you come to church that God would bless the preaching of His Word and show me something out of His Word that might help me draw near to Him. I didn't hear you request that. Is that what He's asking? Good questions. That's good questions that we ask ourselves and must ask ourselves every Sunday. Not just take it for granted that God takes whatever we give Him. We shouldn't give anything but the best. You know? And I don't know about you, but my heart is not always in the best state of mind. You know the greatest impediment, hindrance to Scripture and praise? The state of the heart. That's what God looks at. It's not what I physically do or verbally say. Psalm 51, God looks at the heart. God's looking at the condition of the heart saying, oh, That's what I want. I want the heart. That's what this one leper had. Let me close with Psalm 100. Look at this. I wish I had more. There's Psalm 122. You can read too, but Psalm 100. Look at Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you want. Joyful noise. We joke about that because we can't hold a tune all the time. But what he's talking about is make a joyful noise. He's talking about the heart, not so much the sound, the words, or the melody. It's a heart. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Watch this. Enter into His gates, His church, His building, His place of worship. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. That's the state of the heart that God looks at and worthy worships Him and brings honor to Him. Beloved, we're fixing to go into Thanksgiving. And I know, just like Christmas, you'll see it all over the internet and in the workplace and everything else. Well, let's give God thanks for what we have. And it's like the birth of Christ. It's celebrated once a year. We've got to practice giving thanks to God every day and not just lip service. That's easy. It's this. And you know how troublesome that is sometimes to let us do that? Sometimes it has a mind of its own. And this. Sometimes it takes a lot of sanctification and the grace of God to get these things in tune, in line with one another. You know that? Pray with understanding. Sing with understanding. Those are both verses in the Bible. So that my mind can be affected by my heart affected by my mind, and I can offer God that spirit of praise which is alone worthy of. An old preacher said this, preaching sows. Sows the word. Prayer waters it. But praise is the harvest. It's a good quote. Preaching sows, prayer waters. Praise shows us what we really got and what we really understand. You know what we're going to be doing in heaven? This is why the sinner's not going to like it up there. As a matter of fact, the sinner don't want to go to heaven. Even in hell, he don't want to go to heaven. Do you know that? He has a perfect hatred for God in hell. There's no sinner down there going, "Oh, I wish I would have repented and gone to heaven with God." No, he has a perfect hatred for God. They all hate God perfectly. You know why? Because they are given over to the full state and condition of sin. And sin is enmity against God. They can't stand God. All those in hell hate God, even worse than when they were living. You know why they wouldn't like it there? You know what we're going to be doing all day long? We're going to be praising God. Worshiping God. Loving God. Doing all that they never wanted to, nor even now want to. You see, if we really remind ourselves, beloved, and I hope and pray that we're all converted this morning. If you're not, I hope and pray God shows you your condition before Him and you do something about it, which is repent. And I beseech you, in Christ's stead, be reconciled with God. But if we are believers, never leave the shadow of the cross. And when you feel your praise beginning to get a little lukewarm and indifferent, survey the cross again. Look at the crown and the wounds and the open side and the nails in the hand. Look at Christ, the Son of God, hanging as a torn piece of flesh on Calvary. Watch the blood pour from His veins and His skin. And you remind yourself that He took my place. And if it weren't for Him, I'd suffer an eternity in hell. And then watch how you turn out to be that one of ten. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. What a praise. What an honor. What a glory it is. What a privilege it is to worship God. In spirit and truth. That's what the Bible says. Spirit and truth. May God. Now maybe you'll understand some of those old hymns that says, "Tune our hearts to sing Thy grace. Come Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, help us to worship You." Why do those old hymns say those things? Because we're prone to give God a superficial, indifferent worship when it should be more in-depth, more spiritual, more lively, more real. Filled with thanksgiving. Read Psalm 100 today. Praise God for His goodness and grace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this day. We thank You again how Thy absolute truth challenges us as believers. Lord, we fall infinitely short of praising You as we ought. And Father, we pray that You'd help us this morning to be reminded of this one leper who was healed, and yet in the midst of going to the priest, he turns around, comes back, falls on his face at the feet of Christ, and glorifies God, thanking and praising Him for His goodness. Father, help us to find ourselves once again at Your feet, praising and thanking You for Your goodness and mercy. For Lord, truly You are merciful. Help us, dear God, we pray, to praise You, God. And in closing, Father, I pray if there be one this morning that knows not Christ, may she see her sinful condition before Thee as this leper. And God, I pray that You'd burden their hearts and their sins about the vanity of this life and about eternity. Father, we pray that You'd do miracles in our midst. We love You and thank You for all things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you. Hope and pray you.